For four Sundays of Lent, we have begun our Mass singing, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Now on this fourth Sunday, we've reached the climax of our preparation for Christmas, and the Gospel points us to that mystery of the Incarnation, that God is with us. We firmly believe that the Heavenly Father sent Jesus, his Son, one with whom he's consubstantial, one of which he's second person of the Holy Trinity, into this world through Mary, who conceived by the Holy Spirit. Through her, Jesus, true God, became also true man. As St. John writes in his first chapter of the Gospel, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory of an only begotten Son, filled with grace and truth. So here we have the gift of our Savior. He came, therefore, to perfectly reveal God's truth and love to us. He came to offer the sacrifice for our sins, a sacrifice that transcends time, so sins of the past, his time, our time. He came to give us the hope of everlasting life through his resurrection. How beautiful it is to know that the Lord has opened the gates of heaven, and we one day will be joined with him in a body and soul glorified union, just as he had rising from the dead. So yes, we can truly have joyful hearts as we celebrate again this Christmas. Here, then, the words that our Lord spoke should ring in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life to those who believe. So my brothers and sisters, as we ponder this mystery, the Gospel also presents to us how we ought to approach this Christmas, and in so doing presents to us the beautiful example of Saint Joseph. Now there's two Annunciation scenes in the Gospels. One is the one of Archangel Gabriel appearing to Mary in Saint Luke's Gospel, but Saint Matthew has Saint Joseph receiving that message. The reason why, I think, is because Joseph is essential. So in one way, he's essential because of his lineage. He is of the house and lineage of Abraham and also David. So Saint Joseph is like bringing to a close that first covenant made with Abraham and sealed with the blood of circumcision to prepare the way for that new covenant made by Jesus, sealed by the blood of his cross. Saint Joseph is bringing to a close that old physical kingdom of David and setting the stage for the new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of grace, here and now, made visible through the church, the believers, but fulfilled in heaven. So in that sense, Saint Joseph has a very essential role. Moreover, secondly, it's because of who he is. Saint Joseph is a holy man, the faithful spouse, the faithful foster father and guardian of our Lord. And that example also encourages us. So first of all, the holy man. Saint Matthew indicates that Saint Joseph was righteous. So he's right with God. He reflects God's life in his life. He must have been a wonderful masculine example, so needed not only to our Lord Jesus, but to any child growing up. Sometimes we think of Saint Joseph from artwork as some old man hovering over or so on. But rather, I think, and Fulton Sheen agrees with me, that he's a very vibrant man. Archbishop Sheen wrote, Joseph was probably a young man, strong, virile, athletic, handsome, chaste, and disciplined, the kind of man one sees working at a carpenter's bench. Instead of being a man incapable of loving, he must have been on fire with love. Instead of being dried fruit to be served on the table of the king, he was rather a blossom filled with promise and power. He is not in the evening of life, but in its morning, bubbling over with energy, strength, and controlled passion. What a beautiful description. But I think that's what St. Joseph was as a man, a holy man, but truly a man filled with holy zeal. He was that holy spouse to our Blessed Mother Mary. Now, in our gospel passage, we hear of how Joseph and Mary are betrothed. Keep in mind, back then in Jewish society, as it is true for Orthodox Jews to this day, marriage was like a two-part ceremony. The first part, called the Kiddushin, was when the rabbi formally blessed this couple, and they began like a betrothal, an engagement. However, in Jewish society, they were considered married. Now, they did not live together for like almost a year. And then the bridegroom with his groomsmen would come to the house of the bride and then take her and her bridesmaids back to his house. They'd have a celebration, sometimes lasting a whole week, as we hear of, like in the Wedding Feast of Cana story. And then the rabbi would bless the bride and groom, which was called the nuasim. And then they would consummate the marriage. So somewhere in this in-between period, Joseph finds out Mary's with child. He must have been brokenhearted. Yet the righteous man knows there's been a violation of the Torah. He's going to divorce her, break that contract of marriage, but mercifully, he's going to let her go quietly. He could have, in justice, had Mary stoned to death in the public square. But because he's righteous, not just following the law of the Torah, but filled with God's merciful love, he's going to let her go quietly. When the archangel Gabriel, we presume, comes to Joseph in the dream and says what has happened, that Mary's conceived by the Holy Spirit, he immediately, without question, takes Mary as his wife into his home, accepts Jesus as his own son. And then that brings us to the next part of Joseph being the holy foster father, the guardian of our Lord. The Heavenly Father knew Jesus needed a father. So Saint Joseph, as that Jewish husband and father, was the spiritual leader. So he provides for the family. Joseph, 8 days after the birth of our Lord, takes him to the temple for the performance of circumcision. He's the one who holds baby Jesus in his arms. He's the one that pronounces his name, Jesus, meaning Yahweh saves. He holds Jesus for the first time when he sheds his blood. But by that action, Joseph really becomes that legal father of Jesus in all of Jewish society sense, without question. But without a Joseph, poor little Jesus would have been a nothing in Jewish society, also Roman society. Then we consider how Joseph taught Jesus the trade of carpentry. Remember, carpenters back then didn't just build like a few things. They built furniture. They put a roof on a house. They even built homes. They built crutches. They built the yokes for the oxen and so on. Think how much Jesus learned when we consider all those images that I've just mentioned that we find in the gospel. He learned that from Joseph. And then, too, Joseph is the one who made sure the family went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, the temple in Jerusalem for the special days. He led the family in prayer at morning time, evening time, grace before meals. He was the holy father for his family. And so, here we have essential Saint Joseph, the holy man, the faithful spouse, the faithful foster father and guardian of our Lord. How beautiful he is. And when we think about his example then, let's think about what we learn as we think of Christmas 48 hours from now. First of all, Joseph is a quiet man. He doesn't speak one word in the Gospels that is recorded. We need time for quiet. Take time during these next hours for some quiet time. solitude, silence. We need to ponder the mystery of Christmas like it's happening again for the first time. Whether you do that here at church or you go home tonight and maybe turn on the tree lights, turn out the other lights, gaze at your manger scene and contemplate Christmas, do it. We need to ponder the mystery of the incarnation. We don't want to miss the meaning of Christmas. But to capture it takes quiet, silence, pondering, meditation. Seize the moment. Secondly, that Saint Joseph was right with God. Are we right with God? All of us can always do better. It's sort of like this action of, here we are, sort of circling the airport, got to land the plane. Well, we need to be right with God. And that's time to ponder, too. And lastly, then, think about the gift you're giving to our Lord and to those that you love. Joseph gave himself to the Lord. He gave himself to Mary and to Jesus. A full gift, the greatest gift that we can give to our Lord is our love through our prayer, our worship, living that life. The greatest gift a spouse can give to the other is by being the best faithful, holy spouse possible. The best gift a parent can give to a child is by being the best faithful, holy parent possible. And same for a child to a parent. And this is key. When we think about families today, we need to be more giving, more faithful in the presence of the Lord to keep those families strong in the love of the Lord. So my brothers and sisters, much to ponder as we look at this example of Saint Joseph. So we continue on and we say, yes, O come, Emmanuel. God be with us. If we follow that path of Saint Joseph, God will be with us. May God bless you.